There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast presented by Reality Sports Online. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host, and I am joined for the last time as a regular co-host on this podcast, Trevor Sikkema. He can be found on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. Trev, you've got an announcement here, man. It went out on Twitter yesterday. We're recording this on Tuesday, so you couldn't say where you were going last podcast, but I think you can now. Where'd you end up?
Yes, I am starting as a full-time host, reporter, podcaster, a lot of things for Pro Football Focus. And I know that everybody who listens to this podcast is probably very familiar with the guys over at Pro Football Focus. I'm super excited. I'm excited to join that team. I know a lot of the people there already, and so it's going to be a blast. We're going to be producing a lot of really great video-centric content, which I'm super, super excited about. But man, hearing you say those words for the last time, not going to lie, man, cut deep. It cuts to the heart. I hate hearing that.
And, hey, something else that cut deep. Let's play a game called On That Day, okay? On this day, 2 years ago, Andrew Luck retired from the NFL.
Do you remember exactly where you were when it happened?
Yes.
Because it is the strangest thing, right? I mean, like, people talk about world events and they'll go like, oh, I remember exactly where I was like when this world event happened. For the sports world, it seems like no matter who you ask, if you go, where were you when you learned that Andrew Luck was retiring? People could tell you exactly where they were. I was at my house in Tampa. We were throwing a watch party for the UF Miami game and we were waiting for food to come, and I saw it come across Twitter and it was just like, boom, Andrew Luck's retiring. I remember exactly where I was in the house, what was going on, everything. It's so crazy.
If you would have asked me before today, before I saw this go out on Twitter, if you would have asked me like, hey, when did Andrew Luck retire? I probably would have been like, oh man, probably would have been like 4 years ago, right? Like probably five years ago now. I was like, 2 years ago.
Two years ago, man.
How much has freaking happened in 2 years that way Andrew Luck retiring is still like in recent memory? And like people still talk about like, yeah, Andrew Luck could come back. And I'm like, man, that was 4 years ago. He's not coming back. No, it was 2 years ago. He actually legitimately, if he wanted to, he could still come back.
He could be.
And
he
actually perform back. And actually perform at a high level. All right. Well, hey, let's get into a rookie mock draft here. We've got a lot that we are going to run through. But before we do, want to remind everyone about the giveaway that we have going on courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction. For more information on this giveaway, it is a Cam Akers signed helmet. Head over to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest. I talk about it almost every episode, letting you know how you can enter this giveaway. So if you are interested in learning more about that, just head over to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest. Again, that is for a chance to get a Cam Akers signed helmet. All right, Trev, so we've got a 4-round Superflex rookie mock draft. And you're probably sitting here saying like, man, it's August. Like we're two weeks away from the start of the NFL season. Why are you doing a rookie mock draft? Well, there are still people that are doing mock drafts, doing rookie mock drafts, or doing rookie drafts, excuse me. And so we wanted to be able to get some content in front of you guys to be able to say, like, this is how things have changed. This is what you should be expecting, you know, roughly going into your rookie draft. But then also, it's kind of a fun exercise to be able to look back at how much has changed since even last April on some of the order of these guys that are they're going to go in drafts. So kind of a little fun exercise to see just how much has shifted here, especially with the quarterbacks. Now that we've seen them on the field, you know, how much changes here. So I am going to give you the number one overall pick, my friend. You are up again. This is a super flex league. So quarterbacks, priority on them. Where are you going here with the 101?
I'm still going with Najee Harris. I feel like I have to. It just he's just going to be so good for the Steelers. And I think that they have some offensive line questions, but it just seems like a Mike Tomlin ran team is always going to be well disciplined, and they're going to be on their P's and Q's. And I feel like they're going to have the offensive line in tip top shape eventually for whatever the talent level is. And, you know, of course, we're talking dynasty, so we're not just talking about the next couple of years. We're talking about far into the future as well. And, you know, Najee Harris, really, once he came on and got his confidence at Alabama, it's been a show. And I mean, he's just been one of the best playmakers in college football. Now I think that's going to be the case in the NFL. The volume that he's going to get over the next, yeah. I'll just say his rookie contract is just going to be worth the price of admission right there. So there's a lot of really talented players on here, but I'll go with Najee Harris to start this draft off.
Yeah, and you know, people talk about quarterback all the time, but even in startup super flex drafts, we're seeing CMC go number one overall over Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, things like that. So I think Najee Harris here going at number one overall is not that crazy, not that far-fetched. However, here at the number two overall pick, I am going to take the quarterback, and I am going to go with Trey Lance. I think that we're going to see him on the football field sooner rather than later. So Trey Lance here for the San Francisco 49ers, we have seen his rocket arm. We have seen it in action here. He's had a ton of passes that have been dropped. But, you know, we started to see a little bit of rough seas there with the second preseason game. And then the second half, man, he came out, or towards the end of the first half and then the second half, he came out on fire. And you just see the arm strength, and we haven't even seen the mobility yet. We haven't even seen him take off and really, really run. So Trey Lance here at the number two overall pick, which means, Trevor, if you want him, Trevor Lawrence is sitting there at the number three overall selection for you.
I know where he is. You don't got to remind me of the draft board. I'm actually going to make you a very happy man one way or the other, because I'm going to pick a quarterback and I'm not going to pick Trevor Lawrence. I'm actually going to pick Zach Wilson. I think that Wilson is in for one heck of a career, man. I had him right behind Trevor Lawrence. Well, I don't want to say too right behind, because it was clear that Trevor Lawrence was my QB1 going into this draft season. But man, Zach Wilson was my QB2. And I feel like he was close enough. He got the franchise tag label from me. He's looked really good, all things considered. I think that that offense is only on the up, and where I have a lot of faith in Justin Fields' ability, I'm not sure exactly where the Chicago Bears are going. And so when you think about rookie drafts and getting the most out of players in their contracts early on, you have to think about situations. I think the Jets are honestly on the up. I think Robert Saleh is a fantastic coach. I think you're going to continue to invest in that offensive line and the offensive weapons. As Zach Wilson grows, so is the Jets' offense. I think the sky's the limit for him. And I think situationally, that's why I got to go with Wilson here as the next QB off the board.
He's looked good in the couple of preseason games here. He's latching on to Corey Davis, that's for sure.
Good.
Ridiculous target share there for Corey Davis. So, all right, well, you left me Justin Fields here at the one, or I'm sorry, Trevor Lawrence here at the 104. I've got to take him here. It is close between Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence again, but this is Trevor Lawrence that we're talking about, and he's here at the 104. I can't let him slide too much further. So I will go Trevor Lawrence here at the 104.
I'll go Justin Fields then. I mean, it feels a little bit sacrilegious for him to be the fourth quarterback off the board, but right. I knew that this was going to be probably a reality just given what was going on. I wasn't sure how much faith you were going to have in the Jaguars situation. I wasn't sure if you were going to take Justin Fields there, but whoever you weren't going to pick between Lawrence and Fields, I was going to be happy taking, because Lawrence, I mean, you got to bet on the talent. And for Fields, shoot, from what we've seen already, you got to bet on the talent as well, especially for how much the Chicago Bears are going to need him. So not just early on, but also long term. Yeah, I'll take the fourth quarter back off the board here.
All right, now this is where it gets interesting, because yes. I am not taking Mac Jones here. So I've got guys like Ja'Marr Chase, who has been struggling to get his sea legs underneath him here in the first couple weeks of the preseason. I've got Jaylen Waddle, who I've seen, you know, everything that I've been hearing and have seen on the field indicates that he could be the wide receiver one drafted here. I'm going to go Kyle Pitts, though.
Yeah, there's
Kyle
no doubt.
Pitts, you know, at 106 here in a super flex rookie draft. I took him at the 104 in a 1QB rookie draft that I just had recently. So I think that this is still fine value for Kyle Pitts. And again, the age, everything that you and I have broken down here about Kyle Pitts on the podcast indicates that he's worth taking here over Ja'Marr Chase, over Jalen Waddle, over Travis Etienne, who's struggling with an injury now, right? Mm-hmm. So I will go with Kyle Pitts here at the 106.
Yeah, and I think that that makes it relatively easy, and this is the order that it should have been. There's not really a surprise in this rookie draft for me, because I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase next. And yeah, of course, it's taken him a little bit longer to get acclimated, get confident. Even with Joe Burrow as his quarterback, he's just different. You know, when you're making the transition from college to the NFL, there's a lot of things that go on. Shoot, some of these players, they don't really get confident in themselves until year two, maybe year three. These are young players adapting to young careers. And so what you've got to bet on is the talent. Ja'Marr Chase is just so dang good, and he's going to figure it out eventually. He's going to pay off for you eventually. But I do think that this is the correct order, with the quarterbacks going first, Najee Harris off the board, Kyle Pitts off the board, then getting Ja'Marr Chase off the board. So I think that you'd be happy to get him at this spot, but this is appropriate.
I want to talk about Ja'Marr Chase really quick, because there are people that are now panicking in the streets because they spent, you know, potentially the 101 pick in 1QB formats on Ja'Marr right. Chase. If not, they drafted him very highly in April or May when they were doing their rookie draft. So Ja'Marr Chase here, I mean, what is your panic level on him? Obviously, like, you like him. You took him here at the 107 as a first wide receiver off the board, but do we think that Justin Jefferson, coming out of LSU, coming out of that same system with Joe Burrow, you know, then Ja'Marr Chase and, mm-hmm. and the success that Justin Jefferson had last year specifically, and then, you know, him reuniting with Joe Burrow, the high draft capital, do you think that that created unrealistic expectations here for Ja'Marr Chase? Or yeah. what is really the situation here?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I mean, we have gotten so far out of hand, and I don't mean to say this to like damper draft season and draft hype, because I love it. And I'm obviously in the industry talking about draft hype, and this is what I love to do. And I love that everybody else is getting involved as well. But like, we want these guys to hit the ground running, right? I mean, can you remember 2 weeks ago when Zach Wilson threw 4 interceptions in one practice right. and everyone right. thought that, oh my God, how could you ever, ever yep. have drafted Zach Wilson over Justin Fields? Are you kidding me? It's just classic Jets. And then it's like, okay, now he gets into the game and now he looks good. And he says, he even said it after that practice, yeah, I'm throwing picks in practice. I'm a rookie in the NFL. I'm supposed to be figuring right. out what works and what doesn't. I'm supposed to be figuring out how it happens. And so like, we just get so impatient. I feel like I'm like a boomer right now, but I'm feeling like I'm talking to like a microwave fantasy generation. Everybody breathe. It might not even be this year with Ja'Marr Chase. Who knows? The old regime in Cincinnati might be out the door soon. Who knows when it's going to happen, but I promise you it's going to happen. They're going to be good.
Yep. All right. So let's go to the running back position here at the 108. I'm going to take Javonte Williams.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, man. I think with the Travis Etienne injury, you know, that happened just yesterday as we're recording this. So we don't know how long Travis Etienne is going to be out yet. We don't have that clarity yet at the time of recording, but it is enough for me to go Javonte Williams here. Everything that we have seen from Williams in his action in the preseason has indicated that he is going to be a force for fantasy football sooner rather than later. Now, he's got Melvin Gordon standing in his way. But Gordon, at this point of his career, doesn't really scare me. I think that we could see Williams take over this job as the season progresses. Maybe not fully. I think Gordon's still going to be involved enough. But then once we get into 2022, man, we could be talking about a top 15 fantasy football running back. So
yep.
I will take the shot here with Javonte Williams at the 108.
Thing I love the most about Javonte Williams is the dude knows how to pass protect. And that's,
oh, my
going,
word,
to,
yes.
that's going to get him on the field, which will then, you know, paved the way for you to potentially be a bell cow back and have as much volume as a team could possibly give you. I'm going to yep. go with Jalen Waddle here. I wish so badly that I could go with Devontae Smith, but I don't know how the dude's going to hold up, right? I mean, like, he's like 170 pounds, basically, 180 pounds, whatever it is. I mean, like, he's just... he's an anomaly, and you're betting heavily against NFL players who have come before him and have been able to stay healthy. It's just that that's not often the case with Devontae. I wish so badly that I could pick him, because I think that he's the clear wide receiver one in Philadelphia. No matter who's the quarterback, they're going to lean on him early and often, as I think that the Eagles are probably going to be playing catch up quite a bit throughout this season. But I can't. I don't know how available he's going to be, not just this year, but in the years to come. And I know Waddle's coming off an injury himself, but I'll bet on Waddle here, and I'm going to go with Waddle over Smith.
Yeah, I would too. That's the order that I had these guys in the pre-draft process. So I had Ja'Marr Chase at 1, then I had Waddle at 2, and Devontae Smith at 3. Didn't mean that I didn't like Devontae Smith. I just had some concerns there. But here at the 110, Those concerns are not going to play a factor for me. I am going to take Devontae Smith here at the 110. I think that, I've been on record saying that I don't have a ton of faith here in the passing offense here in Philadelphia, but this is looking long-term, right? The Philadelphia Eagles, if Carson Wentz does end up playing in week one, they have a very good chance to have 3 first-round picks next year. Mm-hmm. So we could see them either move up and grab a quarterback, you know, one of these guys that we just finished talking about on our summer scouting series, a Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler, like one of those guys that could be throwing the ball to Devontae Smith next year. That gets me a little excited here, willing to take him here at the 110. All right, you are up at the 111.
I'll go Travis Etienne here. I think that this is probably the safe spot for him. And obviously he's got the foot injury, but you know, it's a foot injury that you hope they don't rush him back. You hope that it heals fully. You hope you're getting most of his rookie season. And then beyond that, of course, we're talking about a dynasty draft. And so you're drafting long-term talent anyways. The Jaguars are still trying to figure it out. You know, whether it's Travis Etienne in the running back position or what they're doing with the offensive line or how they're shaping the defense, whatever, how they're calling plays even. They're still going to be figuring it out this year. So you can't expect a ton from this year, I don't think. If you get something, great. Treat it as a bonus. But moving forward, it's still Travis Etienne, still one of the fastest people on the football field. So you got to bet on him here.
Yep, for sure. All right, I am going to go with the running back position as well. I'm going to go with Trey Sermon here. Sermon, I think the more that we've seen from him in the preseason, and obviously he was injured here for game number 2, so we didn't get to see him on the field. But in game 1, I think that we're going to see Kyle Shanahan kind of zig when the rest of the league zags, right? We've seen so many other teams pop up where they're trying to copy Kyle Shanahan's, you know, system, right? As an outside zone, predominantly what he's run. And Trey Sermon, successful running back in an outside zone scheme. He has the vision for it. But at his size, I think that he fits more as that like bell cow kind of running back. And so I think what we're going to see is them probably run a little bit more inside zone here. We saw that with Trey Sermon in game 1, where he's going to be the guy that is carrying the ball in between the tackles and trying to pick up the chunk gains there. And then you've got Raheem Mostert being as that change of pace back, who's going to be able to run on the outside and keep defenses guessing. So I think with Trey Sermon here, I think that we're in line for a big season, especially if we do see Trey Lance take over week 1 potentially. I think that this offense is about to take off and scoring opportunities are going to be there for Trey Sermon. So I will go him here at the 112. Just to recap the first round, that was Najee Harris at the 101, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Javonte Williams, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith at the 110, then Travis Etienne and Trey Sermon to round out the first round. Let's get into the second here. Trevor, you are on the clock.
I'm gonna stick with running back here. This might be a little bit of a stretch to some people, but I'll go Michael Carter, the running back for the New York Jets. I think that Michael Carter is going to emerge as that RB1 out of that group. I know that it looks really clouded right now with all the people that they have there, like Michael Pirine, Tevin Coleman. I mean, plenty of other players as well, but I genuinely think that Michael Carter is going to come out at head and shoulders above the rest. And I think that as the year goes on, he is just going to prove more and more that he is going to be that RB1. And like I said, it's still a work in progress with that offensive line there with the Jets, but I think as you get into year 2 and year 3 of Michael Carter, not only are you getting a better version of that running back, but you're also getting a better offensive line in front of him. I think they're going to continue to invest resources into it. And so this is a bit of a long-term play, but I do think it's going to be one that really pays off for you in the end. I'll go Michael Carter here.
All right. So then here at the 202, I'm going to go the quarterback position. I will take Mac Jones here. Now, Mac Jones, I think, is going to be sitting for quite a while behind Cam Newton here, assuming that COVID and restrictions and all this doesn't play a role. But I do think that Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback to start the year. I think that as long as he is healthy and at least keeping the offense moving, that we're not going to see Mac Jones for a little bit. So that's why he's bumped down here a little bit. But from what we've seen here in the preseason, he has been impressing me.
Yeah.
I think that he's taken some strides forward from his game at Alabama, and I think that he is well-equipped to execute this scheme from Josh McDaniels. So Mac Jones here at the 202. He might go earlier than this in your Superflex drafts, but I think that this is a good value on him. So, all right, you are now up at the 203.
Yeah, Jones could definitely go before where we have him. I think that he could easily go maybe 4 or 5 spots, depending on how you view his current situation, because I do think that it's just a matter of time before Mac Jones starts. So don't let a few games, you know, whether it's 4 or 6, whatever you think Cam Newton's going to play, don't let that really get in the way of you picking a quarterback that you might really be invested in with New England. I'll go Rashad Bateman. I absolutely love Rashad Bateman. Obviously, he's going to be out for the majority of the start of his rookie season, but with this being a dynasty draft, you got to bet on the talent. And I think that what we saw during training camp was he looked awesome. I mean, I think that he looked fantastic. He's going to be wide receiver 1 in that Ravens offense. I think it's only a matter of time before it's Bateman and J.K. Dobbins basically running the show next to Lamar Jackson as the focal points of what the Ravens have going on. And so when Rashad Bateman gets back to form, I think he's going to be the go-to guy. So I'll go Bateman here for the long term.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you weren't going to take Bateman there, I was definitely going to take him here. So I'm going to go with Elijah Moore, the wide receiver for the New York Jets here at the 204. We've just been hearing nonstop buzz about this guy and what he can do here for the New York Jets. We know that Zach Wilson and him have developed chemistry, and I think that they are going to have a big plan for him as part of this offense. I think that Corey Davis is going to be the 1A in this offense, but I wouldn't be shocked if Elijah Moore is right there. It might take him a little bit to get off the ground here in year one, especially with him missing some time with an injury, but he was back at practice today. And then you do have Jamison Crowder still here on this depth chart. So I'm interested to see where Elijah Moore is potentially going to play. But if he beats out Jamison Crowder for that slot role, then we are talking about a very, very valuable fantasy asset that you just got here at the 204. All right, you are now on the clock at the 205. Where are you going?
I'll go Rondale Moore here. I've highlighted this before. Rondale Moore might be in a crowded room right now with AJ Green, with DeAndre Hopkins, with Christian Kirk. It looks like he's going to beat out Andy Isabella. But like even with that being said, it looks like there's three dudes in front of him. But Christian Kirk's on the last year of his contract. No guarantee that AJ Green's going to be back next year. They've already shown that they're willing to get the ball in Rondale Moore's hands out of the backfield and in the passing game as well. And so next season already, it could be DeAndre Hopkins and Rondale Moore. And they're just basically building the entire passing offense around those two guys. So I think the future is very bright for Rondale Moore, even if it might be a little crowded this year. So I think this is the right spot for him.
Yeah, they are making an effort to get him involved in the game. That's for sure throughout the first couple of weeks of the preseason. And that's what he needs to do. You get the ball near the line of scrimmage and let him create after the catch, which is what he is so, so good at. So I'm going to go here with Terrace Marshall Jr., the wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers at the 206. Now with Terrace Marshall, I had him a little bit lower than consensus in my wide receiver rankings just because I was acknowledging that there was a lower floor for Marshall, but he has come into camp here and into the preseason and has just dominated. Now, I do have concerns about, okay, what does the target share look like for him when you do have all the weapons in this offense, you know, fully healthy? Like Christian McCaffrey is obviously going to be target leader. And then you've got Robbie Anderson, who just signed an extension right before we started recording here. DJ Moore, like there are other options in this offense where Terrace Marshall is going to be kind of vying for number four. Like I don't see him outpacing DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson in year one. So, but with Terrace Marshall moving forward, I think that he has the potential and talent to absolutely hit and be a factor, particularly in the red zone. So Terrace Marshall here at the 206, I will gladly add him to the team. You are now up at the 207.
Oh man, I'm debating between two guys, and I wonder if these are the next two players that you're going to take. I'll go Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think this is probably the next correct pick here, the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. Just not a lot of wide receiver help right now in Detroit, and as they are going to get better in that wide receiver room, they're going to do so still leaning on St. Brown, and I think that you could play him in the slot, you could play him on the outside, you can use him in a variety of different ways, and he's going to kind of be a versatile chess piece for them as they fill out that wide receiver group over the next couple of years. So no matter who they're going to bring in, I'm sure they're going to bring in a big-bodied X who they really like. Maybe they'll draft one really high. They'll probably bring in a deep speedster as well. Amon-Ra St. Brown is still going to get his touches. He's still going to get his targets, I think, throughout, and I think this is the right pick.
Yep, I agree with that one. All right, 208 here. I will go with De'Ami Brown.
Those are the two guys I was debating between. So
yeah, man, I think we've already seen that Ryan Fitzpatrick is willing to trust him. Now, I have questions about just like, okay, is De'Ami Brown actually going to be a starter to start his career here, or do we see one of these other guys step in over him, right? Curtis Samuel, when he's back and fully healthy, do we see him play over De'Ami Brown? But we've seen the talent. We've seen the flashes already here, so I'm willing to take that bet on De'Ami Brown. I will draft him here at the 208. You are now up on the clock at the 209.
Okay, so you took Brown there. I'm going to take Ramondre Stevenson, and I think right now it is Damian Harris's show there. There's obviously a couple of options for New England, but Ramondre Stevenson is always, whether it's this year, next year, his third year, his last year of his rookie contract, whatever it is, he is always going to bring an element of plus athleticism for a guy who brings a lot of size to the position. I think that's always something that you're going to want to get on the field. The better he gets, if his vision improves, then I can see a potential starting role for them. And so I'm not thrusting him into an RB role yet. This is really a true dynasty pick here. But with that ability, I think it's always going to be something that Belichick and the rest of that offense is going to want to try to get on the field whenever they can. So I want to pick Stevenson here.
Yeah, he's been lighting it up at in the preseason, right? Averaging 7.7 yards per carry, 4 rushing touchdowns already in the first 2 games here. So it's hard to not, you know, I was really, as we sat down to do this, I was like, I'm really interested to see where exactly Ramondre Stevenson goes, because you do have Damian Harris. Sony Michel is still on this roster. Who knows if he'll be for week 1. Then you've got James White, JJ Taylor. Like, it's a crowded room. So I don't know where exactly Stevenson fits in and if he's going to be able to carve out a role for himself in year 1. But I do think that he has played his way at least onto this roster. And then I think that he can carve out a significant role for himself in year 2. So here in the back end of the second round, for a team that might be really, really running back needy, makes a lot of sense. I will go here with the tight end position, a guy that you and I have talked about on different podcasts, saying like if we did not have Kyle Pitts in this class, we'd be talking a lot more about Pat Freiermuth here. So Freiermuth showed up big time in week 2 of the preseason. I love his talent. Love what he can do. And I think that there is a very realistic possibility that we do see Freiermuth beat out Eric Ebron as the season progresses for tight end 1 on this team. So Freiermuth here for a dynamic offense where he's already got Big Ben's trust. I think that's a fantastic pick here at the 210. You are now up at the 211.
I'm going to go with Amari Rodgers. And I know that the Packers are a little bit uncertain right now, especially with everything going on with Aaron Rodgers. He's probably not going to be on the Packers next year, but you know, they bring in, right? I mean, like, they bring in Randall Cobb. Okay, what's going on? Like, basically, what's happening with these wide receivers outside of Devontae Adams? But no matter what happens with Rodgers this year or next, I like Amari Rodgers. You know, I like him as a future slot receiver stud for, I mean, whether it's Jordan Love, whether it's Aaron Rodgers next year, whatever it is, I really like Amari. And I think that he really took a jump in terms of his production and his reliability this past year when he was at Clemson. So I think it's going to show up for the Packers. I think he's going to be able to separate himself a little bit. And I like his game a lot. And so I think this is probably a suitable place for him.
Before we keep moving with today's episode, I want to take a second to thank Reality Sports Online for sponsoring today's podcast. By now, most of you have heard about Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league, it just requires more strategy. Do you think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. All right, here at the 212, I'm looking at some of these names where I'm just like, man, I don't know what their guaranteed roles are. I don't know, you know, moving forward, what their roles will be in the future. I know that Kadarius Toney is going to get every opportunity to succeed here in New York because he's got the draft capital to his name. Mm-hmm. So, as we move into going into the third round, you know, these guys that, you know, we could see them not be on their rosters on the respective teams that drafted them, even as early as next year. I know that Kadarius Toney is going to be on the Giants for the next several years. I don't know what his impact is going to be for my roster in year 1, but this is kind of thinking about the long term option here. Again, dynasty rookie drafts. So going Kadarius Toney here at the 212. Let me wrap up the second round, and then we'll move on to the third. We had Michael Carter go at the 201, then Mac Jones, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore at the 205, Terrace Marshall Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, De'Ami Brown, Ramondre Stevenson, Pat Freiermuth at the 210, then Amari Rodgers and Kadarius Toney at the 211 and 212, respectively. At the 301, my friend, this is getting interesting. Where are we going?
I'm going deep for this one. I'm going deep in the well. I'm going Josh Palmer, the wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers. I just think that there Again, this is a situation where I think he's lower in the consensus rankings because people are looking at his current situation and say, okay, that he's buried in a depth chart that already has well-established guys, but that might not be the case even come next year. I mean, there might be a big-time opportunity for Josh Palmer to step up, and as we know, they've got a great quarterback in Justin Herbert who's not going anywhere, and so, yeah, of course, Keenan Allen is going to be the focal point, but how much longer is Williams going to be there? Who knows? Josh Palmer could definitely step into a much bigger role as we get into year two and year three of his rookie contract, and so this one's a dynasty stash, but I'm going to go Josh Palmer here.
Yeah, man. I mean, Mike Williams, you know, his contract is up at the end of this year. I think that's what they drafted Josh Palmer to be, was the Mike Williams replacement in this offense. So it makes a ton of sense here. All right, at the 302, I'm going to go at the running back position, a player that I loved coming out. That is Kenneth Gainwell. Now, I don't know what his role is going to be on this offense here, but I do think that Nick Sirianni is going to look to utilize multiple running backs in this scheme. So I think that Gainwell, as a phenomenal pass catcher, as someone who is a nice complement to Miles Sanders, who struggled with drops last year, it seems like it's continuing over into training camp this year. I think that Gainwell could carve out a significant role for himself. So I will go Kenneth Gainwell here at the 302.
I'll go Brevin Jordan with this next selection.
All right.
You know, Texans have Jordan Aiken. They've got Farrell Brown. I mean, they've got a ton of different tight ends, but Brevin Jordan is different. I don't think that you can exactly peg him straight into that role as a traditional tight end. And so when you want to get more of that big slot kind of a player on the field, he might be their best option. And I have no idea what's going to happen with the Houston Texans, but right. I know that Brevin Jordan got a crap ton of targets and attention when he was at Miami. Why? Because he was unique. He was uniquely athletic for a player of his build. Now, are you going to be able to line him up in line and have him in 12 personnel packages all the time? No, probably not, because that's not where the strength of his game is. But as the NFL continues to evolve, they get into a lot of those mismatch opportunities with guys in the slot who can either win with size or surprising quickness. I think that could be Brevin Jordan. So take it a chance here, but I'll go Brevin Jordan.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got the talent. I think that the reason why he fell to, the fifth round was just because of commitment issues, like off the field there to the game of football. I think that was some maturity questions. I think that was what was hanging over his head and why he fell. So the talent's there. It's worth taking a shot on here in the third round. I will go with another player who the talent is there and is absolutely worth taking here in the third round. That is Dwayne Eskridge, the wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. Anyone who has listened to this podcast for any length of time knows that I am a huge Dwayne Eskridge fan, and we haven't seen him yet. He's been on the PUP to start training camp here, but he is now back at practice. We haven't seen him in game action yet, but I think that once we do, I think that we're going to see him skyrocket up dynasty rankings, and especially too, what happens if something does happen to Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf, and he's now the number two option in an offense led by Russell Wilson. So he fills a huge role for this offense. I think that there is very little downside to selecting Dwayne Eskridge, and the upside is through the roof. I'll take him here at the 304.
All right, you're going with one of your guys. I'll go with one of mine. I'll go Tylan Wallace, the wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. 50-50 ball stud. I mean, he was the go-to receiver for three straight seasons with Oklahoma State. And he's a different type of wide receiver than what the Baltimore Ravens currently have. But as that offense, I think, reinvents itself a little bit and gets a little bit more involved in the passing game, I think they're going to need somebody who can consistently come down with Lamar Jackson's passes. And so I think that Tylan Wallace can absolutely be one of those guys. He's got an uphill battle. He's pretty deep on the depth chart right now. But this is a stash play that could really pay off for you in the future.
All right, I'm going to go back to the quarterback position here. I'm going to take Kellen Mond, the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. I liked Mond's tape coming out. I think that he is a limited quarterback. I don't think that he is going to ever be one of these guys that we talk about as a top 15 option for a fantasy quarterback. But I think that with Kirk Cousins, you know, there's a possibility that he's off this roster sooner rather than later, and Kellen Mond could be the future here in Minnesota. So I will take the shot, especially, you know, it's a super flex league. You got to be able to take some shots on some quarterbacks and see how they pan out. I'll go Kellen Mond here at the 306.
I'll go Elijah Mitchell, the running back for the San Francisco 49ers. You took the one that I think everybody believes is going to eventually be the heir apparent RB1 in San Francisco in Trey Sermon, but I still think there's going to be plenty of carries for Mitchell. I think he's going to stick around. I think there's a reason why you love him. I mean, his athletic scores were just fantastic from this past offseason when he was coming through the draft. And so you bet on players like that, right? I mean, like, you bet on those guys that can give you that high potential, because all it takes is an opportunity. And you never know exactly how it's going to happen, but if he gets it, I think Mitchell can make the most of it.
All right, I'm going to go to your team. I'm going to go with a wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm going to go Jalen Darden here. I have loved what I've seen from Jalen Darden throughout the preseason. Everything that I saw on tape shows up here. This guy is just absolutely electric. One of these guys that I just absolutely loved. Think that he filled a very could fill a very valuable slot role in the NFL, and then also does bring some speed on special teams. So I think he's going to see the field here in year one. And then year two, I mean, Chris Godwin, franchise tag, Antonio Brown, who knows what's happening there. So Darden could be a starter in this offense in 2022. I will take Jalen Darden here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the 308.
I want to go with Amir Smith-Marset, the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. I think that he can have a lot of positives coming from his special teams play over the next couple of years that could continue to have him on the regular season roster, that gets him wide receiver snaps, that, you know, who knows, maybe it starts and he's just okay, he's a wide receiver four and now he's, you know, producing well, and now you move him up to wide receiver three, whatever. Obviously Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson are the go-to guys there, but, you know, I think it could be anybody's game behind that. And so I think that, why not give Amir Smith-Marset a chance? I think they really like him in Minnesota, and so he's a player who's worth watching.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that I circled after I saw where he landed in the NFL draft. I was just like, I got to keep an eye on this guy because I think that he could force his way into playing time sooner than later. I will go with Nico Collins here, the wide receiver for the Houston Texans. With Houston, I have no freaking clue what is happening with this team, what it's going to look like here in year one. I am not expecting big things here for Nico Collins in year one, which is why he's down here at the 310. But moving forward, if they do fix the quarterback issue here moving forward, if they do get the number one overall pick and we do see Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell, whichever quarterback that is, in 2022, then Nico Collins has a quarterback upgrade. So I will take him here. He's worth a shot at the 310.
I'll go Chuba Hubbard, the running back for the Carolina Panthers. Certainly, if anything happens to Christian McCaffrey, I think that that running back room is basically wide open. And I believe it was the draft night story that said, oh, who was it? I think it was Matt Rhule's wife.
Yes.
Who said, if Chuba Hubbard is there, you better draft him. And so, obviously, they're not going to be cutting him anytime soon or anything, because you got to stay in good graces.
Happy,
with a significant other.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, of course. Right. So, Chuba ain't going anywhere. And, you know, if anything happens to McCaffrey, then all of a sudden, the carries and the emphasis from that position become wide open. So, why not? I'll take Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, I definitely could see him going a lot earlier than this, even in a Superflex draft, because of that potential there. So, all right, I'm going to go a little bit further down here. I'm going to go to the running back position. I'm going to take a guy who I think could potentially become the running back two in his respective offense here, potentially by week one. I'm going to go Larry Roundtree, the running back for the Los Angeles Chargers. I think that even though he is a sixth round pick, I think that we could see him work his way into a starting role here as the 1B option behind Austin Eckler and potentially the goal line back. So I'm looking for these guys that have the potential to hit right away, and Larry Roundtree certainly has that. He's worth taking the shot on. All right, at the 301, just to recap the third round, that was Josh Palmer, Kenneth Gainwell, Brevin Jordan, Dwayne Eskridge, Tylan Wallace at the 305, then Kellen Mond, Elijah Mitchell, Jalen Darden, Amir Smith-Marset at the 309, Nico Collins, Chuba Hubbard, and Larry Roundtree the third to round out the end of the third round. All right, fourth round, man. It gets pretty interesting here. So where do you want to start?
I mean, you're kind of just throwing darts at the dartboard, right? I mean, you're trying to figure it out. There's a handful of running backs that are still available, but I'll go with Jarrett Patterson, the running back from Buffalo, who now plays for the Washington football team. Antonio Gibson's clearly the guy there. And then obviously they have J.D. McKissic as the backup. They have Peyton Barber still on the roster. And so this is truly a long-term play here. But maybe Patterson, who has looked decent at times this preseason, I could continue to stick around the roster. He'll probably be a practice squad this year. You can't expect him to be anything for you now. But, you know, maybe they move on from Peyton Barber. They let Patterson be more of that physical short yardage kind of back. And all of a sudden, who knows? Maybe he gets a little bit more work in the red zone, on the goal line, in short yardage situations, whatever it could be. I liked what I saw for the preseason, so I'll take a chance on him.
Yeah, for sure. All right, here at the 402, I am going to go with Kylan Hill, the running back for the Green Bay Packers. Man, I just do not know. Even I said this in April, I don't know why he fell all the way to the seventh round. And maybe it's one of those things that is just behind the scenes stuff that we will never know about, that we just can't know as talent evaluators from a film perspective. But I thought Kylan Hill should have been an early day three pick, and he is showing off his talent and athleticism here throughout the preseason. So he has the potential to carve out a role as the RB3 in this offense, and he does come with upside if something were to happen to Aaron Jones I think we could see him slide into the pass catching role complement to AJ Dillon in that instance. So holding on to him here as a fourth round pick makes a ton of sense in my opinion. All right, you are now up at the 403.
I would have liked this pick a lot better if we recorded this podcast before Robbie Anderson signed his extension, but I'm going to go with Shai Smith. I think the Shai Smith was held back by poor quarterback play when he was at South Carolina. You hope the quarterback play is a lot better in the NFL. I like his skill set. I think he's an explosive receiver, and he's got a lot of attitude to him, too. I think he's got a lot of confidence to his game. So I'll pick Shai Smith. Like I said, I would have liked it more if Robbie Anderson didn't just get extended, but I guess it's more of a long-term play that you're betting on the talent there.
Yeah, I like Shai Smith coming out. For him to be, what was he, a sixth round pick?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, for him to go in the sixth round just spoke, I think, more to the talent and depth at the wide receiver position more so than an indictment on him. I think that he is a very, very talented player. So Shai Smith there at the 403. I am going to go with a running back here at the 404. I'm going to go with Khalil Herbert. You've got David Montgomery. You've got Damian Williams. You've got Tariq Cohen above him on the depth chart. But everything that we're seeing from Khalil Herbert here is signaling that he could have a role in this offense here. And, you know, it's one of those guys that you're just holding on to see what can happen. I don't know if I'm expecting big things from him in year one, maybe not even in year two, but as a depth piece here, and again, it's pretty gross at this point of the draft. So Khalil Herbert makes a lot of sense here. All right, you are now up at the 405.
All right, fine. I'll do it. I'll pick Kyle Trask.
I was about to say, is this Kyle Trask?
Well, you know it's not going to be Tutu Atwell. So, I'm picking Kyle Trask here. This is kind of going against my grading judgment because I think that Kyle Trask is just a career backup in the NFL. Like, I really do. I think that he's a spot starter at best. But the situation in Tampa, I mean, if Brady hangs it up, he's not going to hang it up after this year, but I think Brady's going to play one more year after this. And, you know, let's say that Brady hangs it up and let's say that Jason Light, who I believe was the one who was orchestrating this pick more so than Bruce Arians was, let's say Jason really pushes for Kyle Trask to be the starter. I mean, maybe he'll get his shot. Maybe he'll play better than expected. And so I think it's a quarterback. It's a super flex league. And so if you get this far in the draft and Kyle Trask is still there, just pick him up.
Yep. All right. Here at the 406, I'm going to go with the wide receiver who has the special teams ability that is going to keep him on this roster, even though he is a sixth round pick. Daz Newsome here. I loved his tape at North Carolina. I was shocked at his testing numbers. I thought that he played so much faster than
way
that.
Faster. Yep.
Way faster. So I think that we, you know, early on in the offseason, we got the buzz that and the news that Justin Fields and Daz Newsome had a connection. We have yet to see that play out here in the preseason. Obviously, they just haven't overlapped here much. But Daz Newsome, as a player who I know is most likely going to stick on this roster because of his punt return ability, so then he can stick and become eventually the starting slot receiver in this offense as early as next year. So Daz Newsome here at the 406. All right, we just got a few more picks here, Trev. Where are you going at the 407?
I just saw this guy's name here, and so I would have picked him way earlier. Tommy Tremble. I mean, Tommy Tremble basically has a streamlined path to being the tight end one on the Carolina Panthers in his second and third year. Like, third year, I think, at the latest. And I really loved the potential that Tommy Tremble showed when he was at Notre Dame. I mean, he's raw as a pass catcher right now in terms of technique and exactly how to set up defenders to create separation, but he has the adequate athleticism. And when you talk about getting on the field because you're blocking, I mean, like, this dude is an imposing blocker. Yep. You set him up in wing alignments, you get him in split zone coming across the line of scrimmage, and he will punish somebody, right? And so that's going to get him on the field consistently over the next 2 years. It's going to allow him to be in on more passing down and play action situations. He's going to be tight end one for this Carolina Panthers team. I got him at 407. He's got to go way earlier than that.
All right, I am going to go with a running back slash wide receiver here. I'm going to go with Demetric Felton, the hybrid player out of UCLA, now with the Cleveland Browns. Been a ton of positive buzz for him in the Cleveland Browns camp. And so I think that he could potentially form a nice role here. Because you've got Nick Chubb, obviously. You've got Kareem Hunt, but then it's D'Ernest Johnson as the RB3. Or is it going to be Demetric Felton? I think that he can force his way into that type of role here. And that does come with some upside if something were to happen to Nick Chubb. We know that he can catch the ball really, really well. So Demetric Felton here at the 408.
Did Trayvon Grimes get signed anywhere?
I actually have absolutely no idea. I saw him on this list and I was like,
no, he's a free agent. He's still a free agent. So like he was signed as an undrafted free agent, I believe, by the Philadelphia Eagles. And then
yes, he was
released very quickly after that. And I was like, okay, this is weird. Because it was just like, oh, we've released him. I don't remember exactly what the story. Maybe you can Google it while I'm picking. But I'm pretty sure it was just kind of like random. It was just like, yep, he's just not on the team anymore. And I was like, all right, that's weird as hell. Because I actually liked the idea of him getting some playing time at Philly. But would have picked him there if he was still an Eagle. But he's not. Instead, I'll go with another wide receiver that I really liked. Sage Surratt. He's the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. Now, separation is not his game. He's a true X receiver, and you got to throw the ball up to him. You got to just trust that he's going to come down with the 50-50 ball. He was able to do a lot in college. Will he be able to do it in the NFL? I think that's the big differentiating factor that would get between him and a really successful career. But as a true X, something that I feel like the Detroit Lions do not have right now, I think there's some room for him to make a difference. And so it's going to take a lot better effort than what we have seen from him recently, but I think the path to it is still there. So, yeah, I'll go Sage Surratt here.
Yeah, and again, we're throwing darts. At the 4-10, let's throw a dart at the quarterback position here in a Superflex league. I was not a big fan of Davis Mills coming out. I don't know where you landed on him, but you know, he's gonna get playing time this year. We know that. You know, Tyrod Taylor's not gonna start all 17 games for this team. They're gonna see what they've got in Davis Mills, and I don't think that it's gonna be great, but if I'm wrong, it's the 4-10 pick in a Superflex league, right? So it's worth at least taking the shot on to see what he can become here, especially, you know, and if he does turn out to be something at the quarterback position, then I've got potential trade bait there. So Davis Mills, 4-10. You are up now with the 4-11. Your final pick, my man.
I'll go Javian Hawkins. I have no idea what's going to happen with that Atlanta Falcons
do you not know?
No, what happened?
He was just released like right before we started recording this.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Okay, that's very funny that would be like my last pick. And I would just, because I was like dreading it. He's a little bit higher in our rankings right now because we have a list that we're looking at. And he's a little bit higher and we keep like skipping over his name. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't like him, but nobody's in Atlanta. That's really funny.
Yep, he actually just got released. Yep.
All right, fine. Then I'll do it. I'll pick Tutu Atwell. Fine. I'll do it.
Oh,
do it.
All right. Pick. Trevor last loves pick. Tutu Atwell. You heard
look,
it here first.
Look, they draft him in the second round. They're obviously going to use the guy. I think that we have to pick him here.
Don't get me started on the
Rams. Were you going to pick him?
Because no, I'm not going to draft Tutu Atwell.
Okay,
no,
well, then I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that I did.
All right, Des Fitzpatrick here. I'm going to go at the 4-12. He's got the draft capital. You know, I don't know what this wide receiver room is going to look like. I have heard next to nothing about Des Fitzpatrick throughout the offseason. You know, you've got Josh Reynolds above him on the depth chart. Some other guys, it sounds like Chester Rogers is even above him on this depth chart. But again, 4-12 here, he's got the draft capital. And that's something that, you know, if I can fall back on that, he's going to have at least role. You know, he's going to at least be on this roster and given opportunities to succeed, because teams don't like necessarily wasting their third or fourth round picks and just cutting them right away. So I think Fitzpatrick has the opportunity to turn into something. We'll see if that happens in 2022. All right, to recap the fourth round there, that was Jarrett Patterson, Kylan Hill, Shai Smith, Khalil Herbert, Kyle Trask, Daz Newsome, Tommy Tremble, Demetric Felton at the 408, then Sage Surratt, Davis Mills, Tutu Atwell, and Des Fitzpatrick to wrap it up. All right, Trevor. Man, looks a lot different than what we had earlier on this offseason, man. There have been some risers, some fallers. I mean, Travis Etienne going at the 111 in a Superflex league even. That's something that I just wasn't ready for, but it's what happens when we have these injury concerns, when we're drafting a little bit later and we know what can potentially play out and cause players to miss some time. You know, you want players to be available, especially if you're drafting them and you've got holes on your roster. So anything stand out to you here that you were like, man, I'm shocked that this went this way? Or maybe, you know, if you could go back and redo a pick, what would that be?
Well, I think that, like I said before, Mac Jones going early 202, I feel like you can make a case, especially in a super flex league, that Mac's going to go a lot higher than that. Probably should go a lot higher than that. So maybe four or five spots back into the first round there. Kind of shocked they got Rashad Bateman at 203, but to your point, that's kind of what happens when we think of injuries, right? If Rashad Bateman was fully healthy, I honestly think that we would have been thinking about Rashad Bateman at the 109, the 110, the 111, something like that. And so those are the few that probably jump out to me. Kadarius Toney not getting picked until the back end of the second round, almost the third round. I mean, yeah, that is crazy. It's, oh, good luck, Giants.
We just haven't seen
I don't know why they did it. I don't know
why they did
it. There's a reason why we haven't seen him.
I know. All right. Well, that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much to Reality Sports Online for sponsoring today's podcast. Trev, this has been a ton of fun, man. I am just so excited for you and where you're going with PFF. I know excuse me, I know that you guys are going to do some fantastic things there. Can't wait to have you back on this podcast as a guest to continue doing podcasts with you in some way, shape, or form. So, man, I'm just so excited for you. It's a bummer that we won't be able to continue doing this podcast together. But again, I'm truly excited for you.
I appreciate everybody listening and supporting me, following me, sending me messages, giving me a warm welcome to this podcast. I really did love getting to be a part of the audience, the listenership, and of course, getting to sit here and talk some football with you, Kyle. It's been a blast, man. I hope I get to come on the podcast again soon because I do love this stuff. And this is a lot of fun, man. I know it won't be the last time, but I'm not going too far, so you don't have to worry too much about that.
Yep, for sure. All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Stay tuned, guys, because we are going to be back next week. I've got a great guest line up, so make sure that you come back for that episode. For Trevor Sikkema, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.